This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. Hello all. Thank you for inviting me back to speak this evening. So I understand this is the third part of a series of Malchus, Zichrinus, and Shofros. So my topic, my title is Shofros. I've taken a little bit of leeway in how to interpret Shofros, and I came across a fascinating topic in the summer called the Great Shofar Controversy of 1881. That means in 1881, nearly 150 years ago, in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim, there was a big debate regarding a shofar. And I'd like to share the whole topic with you. It's a fascinating topic. And it's not probably the typical shear that you were expecting or you were looking for on shofar, so I apologize, but I think it's fascinating nonetheless. It combines history with Lomdus and certainly is very squarely related to Rosh Hashanah. So I hope you would engage and you would enjoy it. And feel free to interact and to ask me questions and to challenge, etc. Let me give you some background. This Shabbos, Imitz Hashem, is Rosh Hashanah. If I were to play word association with you and to say Rosh Hashanah, what would you say? You would probably say apple, honey, and I think shofar would come up there pretty quickly on the list. And yet, even though it's a mitzvah aseh min haTorah to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, this Shabbos we will not be blowing the shofar. Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. Why not? Where does this come from? So take a look at the first box on the handout. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. It says the mission in the first mission in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah. Yontav Shel Rosh Hashanah, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. When the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, like it does this year, B'Migdash Hayu Taikin. They would blow the shofar in the Migdash, Aval Lo B'Medina. Nowhere else in the Jewish world would they blow the shofar. They would only blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, today, you go to any shul throughout the world, this Shabbos, they're not going to be blowing the shofar. Mishechor of Beis HaMikdash, after the Churban, after the temple was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shiyotoykin b'chol makam shiyesh bo beistin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana. In fact, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that he made several takanas. This is one of them. What was his takana? What was his institution, his enactment? Kol makam shiyesh bo beistin, wherever there is a beistin, they would blow the shofar. Omer Rabbi Loza, second opinion, when it says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that you blow the shofar, it was only in Yavne. What was Yavne? Yavne was the seat of the Sanhedrin. That's where the Sanhedrin, when it left Yerushalayim, it went to 10 places. One of the places was Yavne. Omrulai, they said back to Rabbi Loza, Echod Yavne ve'echod kol makom she'yesh be'beis din. Whether it was Yavne or any place where there's a beis din, they would blow the shofar. Okay, now, the Gemara says, the Gemara elaborates, elucidates the Mishnah. Take a look first in box number 3. It seems so far that we have 3 opinions. The first opinion is the Chachomim, the Tanakhama, the first opinion. Kol Makom She'yesh Bo Beis Din, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came along and said, wherever there is a Beis Din, you blow the shofar. Rabbi Loza says, no, only in Yavne. And then the third opinion is Echod Yavne ve'echod kol makom she'yesh bo beis din. So what exactly are they arguing about? Let's see. Says the Gemara in the next box, Omer Rava, Midoraisa Mishra Shari. The truth is, from a Torah perspective, there is no problem to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. What are you doing? What's the problem? It's not one of the 39 melachas to blow a shofar. It's chochma, it's not a melacha, the Gemara says. So min haTorah, there is no problem to blow a shofar. The Rabbonon hu degozer bei, but the Rabbonon, the rabbis made a decree, a gezeira, kederabba, famous gezeira derabba. To Amar Rabba, what is this decree? Rabba says, hakol chayovim b'tzkiya shofar, everyone is chayav to blow the shofar, ve'en hakol b'kiyin b'tzkiya shofar, everyone has got a chiyuv to hear the shofar, but there's no, but not everyone is expert to blow the shofar. We're worried, says Rabbah, that a person who is going to blow the shofar for his community might, you know, needs a bit of training, last minute training, and therefore he'll go to an expert and he'll carry the Yavirenu Arba'amas Bishus Arabim, and he'll carry the shofar Dalad Amas in the Rishus Arabim. V'hainu time it's a lulav, v'hainu time it's a Megillah. And in fact, that is the same reason of lulav and Megillah. In other words, this Shabbos, although it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we will not be blowing the shofar. Why not? Gezeira d'rabba. What does that mean? That we're worried someone will go and learn, he'll go to an expert, and he'll learn how to blow the shofar, and he might carry Dalad Amas, four Amas in the Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, this Shabbos, 2 weeks' time, amazingly, it's the first day of Sukkot. That's the mitzvah to shake the lulav. No one's going to be shaking the lulav again this year, the first day when it falls on Shabbos. Why not? Says the Gemara, a gezeira, it's a decree that maybe someone, somewhere, might carry the lulav. Now, it seems a bit far off, right? It's a mitzvah in a Torah to blow a shofar. It's a mitzvah in a Torah to shake a lulav. And we're worried that someone somewhere may carry it to learn how to shake the lulav, to learn how to read the Megillah, to learn how to blow a shofar. That's the Gezeira d'Rabba. Yes?
Isn't it a bit late, like, on the day that it's actually happening, that the day that you need to blow a shofar, that thing will learn? Wouldn't it make more sense that they
would go? I guess the morning of Rosh Hashanah, when it falls on a Shabbos, he's getting last minute nerves. And on that morning, before he goes to shul, he's going to have a last minute lesson. He's practicing maybe, and therefore he goes to his Rebbe, or he goes to the expert to learn. You're right. In normal situations, he would be well prepared and have training well in advance. But we're worried that on the morning of, that he needs some last minute training. Yep. Okay. Now, continues the Gemara. Look at the next paragraph in box 3. Omer Rabbi Lozo, lo hiskin Rabbi Yechon min Zakkai ela biyavna bavad. That's what the Rabbi Lozo says, and the response was, Omer lo echod yavna vechod kol makam sheish bebeistin. So Omer lo hana Tanakama. The Omer lo seems to be repeating what the Tanakama says. Have you got two opinions, three opinions? What's going on? Answers the Gemara, ikka beinaihu beistin da'akroi, a temporary beistin. In other words, that means that there are actually three opinions. The first opinion of the Chachomim is, what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai misaking? What did he institute? According to the first opinion, that once there's a churban, any place where there is a beis din, you can blow the shofar, even a beis din akroi, even a temporary beis din. That means it's not a fixed beis din, the London beis din, the Manchester beis din, but rather it's a temporary beis din, like you do at Torah and Dorm. You get three rabbis together, three men together, that's good enough. Then Rabbi Loza says, no, it's got to be only Yavneh. Amrulai, they said no, echod yavne or echod kol based in, but a based in kavua. Okay, so that's the explanation of the Gemara. Now, one more caveat. Amrulai echod yavne, the last line of the Gemara. Echod yavne ve'echod kol makam sheish be based in. Amrav Huna, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that you blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah in front of based in, says Rav Huna, ve'im based in, with based in. What does that mean? My ve'im based in, says the Gemara, bifnei based in. In front of the beis din, with the beis din, that's when you blow it. You blow it not just in a town where there is a beis din, but in front of the beis din. Okay, so just to summarize, what have we got? We've got a Mishnah which says that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you don't blow the shofar. Why not? Explains the Gemara. Gezeira d'Rabbo, you might come to carry Dalad Amas in the Rishus Rabbim, four Amas in the Rishus Rabbim, which is an Issam in HaTorah. According to the Chachomim, it seems that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you are allowed to blow the shofar, any beis din, even a temporary beis din. Now, in 1881, a man, one of the Gedolim, one of the Torah greats, called Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger. He was a Talmud of the Ksav Sofer, who was the son of the Chasam Sofer. And he came to Eretz Yisrael, he made Aliyah in 1870, and he researched this topic, and he felt that it was appropriate to reinstitute Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana and to actually blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah when it falls on Shabbos. And he researched the topic and he wrote a whole book. He wrote a whole sefer explaining why he felt it was appropriate, it was correct to blow the shofar on a Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Now, that caused, you can imagine, a lot of controversy. There were some people who sided with him, some people objected to what he said. That created a big tumult, a big discussion. Now, before we explain what his arguments were, Let me just explain to you how the Rishonim understand the Mishnah we mentioned before. Three of the great Rishonim, Rashi, the Rambam, and the Rif, have a different take on what exactly Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was misaking. Let's think about this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came along and said, although when Yontif Shel Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you don't blow the shofar, he made an institution after the Churban that you blow the shofar in a Beis Din, where there is a Beis Din. The Gemara explains, in Beis Din, which means Bifnei Beis Din. Now, what type of Beis Din does it need? That's going to be the big question. According to Rashi, Rashi says you need a Beis Din Shel Esrim Veshlesha, a Beis Din of 23, sometimes known as a Sanhedrin Katana, a small Sanhedrin. The large Sanhedrin with 71 Dayonim, that's the massive Sanhedrin, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Beis Din Katana, Beis Din of 23, that's what you need. In other words, when can you blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which falls on Shabbos, in front of a Beis Din, i.e. says Rashi, what criteria does this Beis Din have to have? It's got to be a Sanhedrin Katana, i.e. a Beis Din of 23. The Rambam says you have other criteria. What are the other criteria? Says the Rambam, you need smuchim. If you look at the box number 5-2, that means that the Dayonim on that Beis Din have had smicha. What does smicha mean? Don't all rabbis have smicha? Isn't that what smicha is? No. Smicha here means something quite different. Smicha means that you became a rabbi because you got smicha, permission to paskin shailas, etc., from a person who got smicha from a person who got smicha from a person going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That chain is no longer existent. And therefore, no one really has smicha in that understanding today. Says the Rambam, the Beis Din requirement is the Dayonim have to have smicha. That means all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And by the way, not for now, it's another very interesting topic. There have been movements over Jewish history to try and resurrect this, because the Rambam himself is of the opinion that there are certain conditions that you can have that would allow you to reinstitute this concept of smicha. And they tried to do it, and in fact, they tried in the times of Rabbi Yosef Cairo. The Rambam lived in the 12th century. But Rabbi Yosef Cairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, lived in the 16th century, and there was a lot of movement at the time to resurrect this whole concept of smicha and having smuchim, and it didn't happen. There was resistance, there was a whole debate about it, and that is one of the reasons why Rabbi Yosef Cairo wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He says we haven't got a Sanhedrin who are going to decide halacha, yes, no, black, you know, for the 16th century, for contemporary times in his times, and therefore I'm going to write a Shulchan Aruch, which is a book telling you the do's and the don'ts. So if you like, this whole smicha controversy was one of the catalysts for the writing of the Shulchan Aruch, amazingly. It actually has throwback to more recent times, by the way. Even in the 20th century, they tried to resurrect it, and there was a whole, the Great Synagogue in Jerusalem. It's all part of this whole discussion, but that's not for now. So the Rambam says you need that criteria of smuchin. There is another criteria the Rambam says, and that is, it's got to be a Beis Din shekitru es hachodesh, a Beis Din that can sanctify the new moon. Now, according to Rashi, we haven't got a Beis Din in the Sanhedrin Katana. According to the Rambam, nowadays we don't have a smuchin, nor do we have a Beis Din in the Mekadesh the Chodesh. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger is going to struggle a bit. The third opinion is the Rif. The Rif is the great Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi. He was one of the great Rishonim. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes in his Hakdama that the Shulchan Aruch is basically based on the opinion, the consensus, of the three great Rishonim. Who are they? The Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. That's what he says. Just by the way, there is an inbuilt Sfardi majority, because the Rambam and the Rif, of course, are Sfardim. The Rosh is Ashkenazi. He was from Germany. He's the Talmud of the Maharam in Rottenberg. True, he escaped to Spain and he crossed paths with the Rashba and others. But he, the Rosh, is one of the great Ashkenazim. So therefore, that's why the Ramah, when he wrote his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, he had to redress the balance, because he had to take into consideration the Ashkenazi Rishonim, who the Beis Yosef had not really taken into consideration, Rashi, Tosfos, etc., etc. Just as an aside. Okay, what does the Rif say? The Rif says, Mishichar Beis HaMikdash, Omer Rav Huna. Now again, what does the Rif do? If you're familiar with the Gemara, the beginning of the Gemara, it's big, thick writing with Rashi and Tosfos on either sides, and it carries on until the end of the Gemara. Then you've got smaller writing, you've got the Rashi, and you've got the Mashal, and you've got other Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara, and then you keep going, and you suddenly look like, it looks like another Gemara again. That's the Rif. What does the Rif do? He sucks out the halachic portions of the Gemara, and that is really the first codification of halacha. That's what the Rif did. But the Rif, importantly, only addresses halacha which applies nowadays. He doesn't talk about hilchas of the Mashiach, halachas which will apply after Mashiach comes. Now that is interesting, because the majority of people who write codifiers of halacha, they only talk about halacha nowadays. The Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, the Rosh, the Ramah, the Beis Yosef, that's what they all do. The one exception, of course, is the Rambam. The Rambam wrote on everything. You want to know about halachas of Parah Adumah? You want to know halachas about the Beis HaMikdash, Klei HaMikdash, etc., Tumah Tahara, Karbonis? You look in the Rambam. That's where you find it. Now, the Rif only wrote about contemporary halacha. So therefore, when you look at the Rif in this Gemara, in the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, there's something very perplexing, because the Rif says, Mishecharav Beis HaMikdash, Omerav Hunavim Beis Din, Mayim Beis Din, Bifnei Beis Din. Why is that perplexing? What should the Rif have said? Nothing. The Rif should have said nothing, because the Rif is only writing about halacha lemaisa. This is not halacha lemaisa, because we don't blow the shofar nowadays. There isn't the Elamai. The Rif clearly was of the opinion that it is relevant today. And therefore, the Baal Amar, he raises the question. The Baal Amar, a famous commentary on the Rif, says, V'achshav ein lanu Sanhedrin, lo gedola v'lo katana. Nowadays, we don't have a Sanhedrin, not a large one, not a small one, a 71 or 23 dayonim. V'ein shum mokim b'yisrael shetokim b'yont of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, there's no place anywhere in the Jewish world where you're going to blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah when it falls on a Shabbos. Lo hayot tzorich harav lichtov mikol zeh klum. Why is the Rif mentioning this? It's not relevant today. And this is one of the perplexing situations where the Rif brings a halacha which seemingly has no relevance today. Why is he bringing this? Now, look at the turn of the page. The Rosh, in the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah in Siman Aleph, says this. Omru alav al Rav Alphas. They say about Rav Alphas, Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, the Rif, that in fact the Rif held that not only can you, but he did. The Rif in his Beis Din, he blew the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which falls on a Shabbos. Astonishing. V'chein mashma behilchosov, says the Rosh, and that is implicit in his writing. What is that? Why is it mashma? Why is it implied from his writing? Because the Rif mentions it. If it wasn't relevant in practice today, he wouldn't mention it. The very fact that the Rif mentions it proves that the Rif felt it is relevant. And in fact, v'chein mashem b'ilchoso shehevim memrad Rav Huna v'im based him, because he brings that. V'ein darke lahavi anadov anoeg bizman hazeh. He only brings things which are relevant nowadays. V'hu oyem afarish kol mokim sheish based in lav dafka sanhedrin ele based in muflug v'godl b'dayra. Says the Rosh. You know why? Because the Rif was of the opinion that what type of Beis Din do we need? Not a Sanhedrin Katana, not a Sanhedrin Gedola even, but just a regular Beis Din, which is Muflik, the best Beis Din in town. The best, the most impressive, prestigious Beis Din, however you want to describe that. And the Rif felt that his Beis Din was the most Choshev Beis Din, and therefore he blew shofar in his time. However, interestingly, V'lo Nagu Talmid of Achrov Lasos came, but his students didn't do that. Now, let's go back to the shofar controversy of 1881. Bakiva Yosef Schlesinger had recently arrived in Eretz Yisrael 11 years earlier. He wanted to reintroduce this takon of Recha Min Zakai. He wanted to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which falls on a Shabbos. So let's just analyze it from the information we have so far. He's going to struggle. He's going to be dead on arrival, because the Mishnah says you can blow the shofar. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was Masakan, you blow the shofar, but what type of Beis Din do you need? According to Rashi, you need a Beis Din, a Sanhedrin Katana of 23. You haven't got that. According to the Rif, you need Smuchin, and you need a Beis Din, a Mekadosh on the Chodesh. You haven't got that. He's going to be Soimich on the Rif, the one opinion which explains it, and that's indeed what the Rif did. The difficulty is, A, it's one opinion out of three. And more, even the students of the Rif didn't continue his practice. So therefore, what are the arguments of Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger to reintroduce the blowing of the shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah when it falls on a Shabbos? So, like I said, he wrote a whole sefer arguing his case. One of the giants of Yerushalayim in the early 1900s was someone called Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinsky, famous personality in Jewish history of the first half of the 20th century. He wrote a famous sefer called Ir HaKodesh VaMikdash, and he's dedicated in Chelek Gimel Perek Chaf one whole chapter to this whole discussion. He takes Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger's book, and he basically says there are 13 arguments that he presents. Now, there isn't time to go through all 13, but I'll share some of them with you. He basically goes through and extracts 13 arguments and then dismisses each one. But let's look at some of the arguments. It's fascinating. Let's look at some of the arguments that Akiva Yosef Schlesinger presents as presented by Rechiel Michal Tukachinsky. Okay. So, look at box number 6. Number 1. Halachahi da'asei deraisa docha issa medivrei sofrim. How fascinating. You've got an issa deraisa. That means there is a biblical prohibition to do something. Sorry. An asei deraisa. There is a mitzvah of an asei deraisa. That can be pushed aside. Is it that pushes aside an issa medivrei sofrim? He gives an example. Tzar balechayim. You're not allowed to cause any distress to an animal. Wanton distress, unnecessary distress to an animal. Tzar balechayim is deraisa. That is docher and issa drabonon. For example, you've got an animal in distress. So you need to be over on Shabbos. There's a problem of mukta, whatever the situation may be. The Tzar balechayim deraisa, the asay of that, is docha the issa drabonon of a bottle of levatel kli meichonu, mukta, etc. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, the asay of blowing the shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is a mitzvah deraisa, should surely overpower the mitzvahs, the gezeira drabonon of Shemi Yavren, Dal Damas. That's one argument. Another argument. Look at this is his fourth argument. The next where it says Dalit. Raya Mimashikosov Aran, the Taritz Hakusha Shehukshagam Batesus. Listen to this. The Rishonim, Tesus, the Ran, all ask the following question. Maishno Lulav Sheachachurba Nenitl Klal B'Shabbos, or Maishno Shefer Shetiknu. They ask a great question. How come Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that you blow the shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which falls on a Shabbos? Why didn't he institute the same thing with Lulav? Why didn't he say that in the Migdosh, or in front of Beis Din, you shake a Lulav? Why is it Dafka Shofar? That's all the Rishonim asked this question. The Tirits, and they answer, Shani Lulav, I'll tell you why. Lulav is different. Sheyiskai and Bishai Yomi, for the Nekra HaMitzvah. So you won't shake the Lulav on the first day. So you'll shake it on all other 7 days of Sukkos. Masha'en kein b'shofar, in contrast with shofar, because in the Mikdash itself, there's only one day of Rosh Hashanah. So if you don't do it today, that's it. V'lochein tiklu sheyiskenu b'mokim yodua shelo ta'aka mitzvah legamri. Otherwise, you've uprooted the mitzvah totally. Oitir, it's another answer is, the shofar she'ulahalu zichrenim shel Yisrael avim she'b'shamayim. Do we know the power of a shofar? Allah elokim b'shrua. Midas hadin goes up, midas chesed comes down. The zichrenus go lifnai v'lifnim. And therefore, l'rotzu levatel legamri, etc., etc. That's another argument he presents. Another one. Vov. U'bishvil kach harav hahu l'chadesh. This Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger presents a very interesting argument. We said that who's he soimich on? Rashi? No. The Rambam? No. The Rif? Maybe. He says even the Rambam would agree with me. Aye, the Rambam says you need smuchim. The Rambam says you need a Beis Din and a Mekadesh l'chodesh. Look what he says. Shegam ha-Rambam in a chelek al ha-Rif. He's not arguing with the Rif. V'gam humoydeh shebechol Beis Din muflug v'koveah aflo somuch teikin. He would agree that even at the end of the day, you haven't got smuchin, and you haven't got a Beis Din which is Mekadesh al-Pi ha-Ri'iyah, they can still do it. Why the Rambam says you need smuchin? No, the Rambam says that's only ideally that you try and get the best based in possible. Who are the best based in? The best based in a smuchin, link after link, chain after chain, down from Moshe Rabbeinu. Like the Gemara says, klach etzel based in Yoffa, go to the best based in. Or bizman shebeis hamigdash hayakayim, hoisa tzakiya b'migdash b'mokam hanivcha yoseh. And therefore, you choose the best possible based in, and at the time, the Beis Hamikdash, that was a based in who a Makadish al pi based in. But once you no longer have that, but Mokam Shekitru Achodesh, if they are based in Agod, the main based in Makadish Achodesh, and you take in for a based in Somach, then you go after a based in which are Smuchin, which are rep, you know, down all the way down from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Imgam ain't based in Somach, and if you haven't got Smuchin, take in before they stand based in, then you can do it in front of any based in. You just choose off the best basin that you've got. So even the Rambam would agree with me, says Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger. He would agree with the Rif that you should still do it nowadays. Another argument. The Gezeira was only in a time when there was a Rishus Harabim Deraisa, and therefore carrying Baladamas, you're going to be over a Deraisa. We, however, pass that, and that's the Rambam Neshitosai. However, we pass them like others, that nowadays there is no Rishus Rabim, and therefore there is less of a concern of a Gezerah Shemi Yavirenu. Furthermore, says Rakiv Yosef Schlesinger, in paragraph Yud, he says, you know what? You need a basin of 23, according to Rashi, I'll get 23 people in the room. I'll get me and 22 others, we'll be okay. So you'll have your Sanhedrin Katana. And lastly, he says something very interesting. Yud Gimel. Again, I'm just picking out some of the arguments he uses. Umachazik oid eis libois el rabbonim ukal shem atzkiyas. Shebechol oifen afilu lashita shatokeh over lagzeh drabbonim. Rak hatokeh. Listen to this. If you hear that you're in Yerushalayim, for example, Rosh Hashanah, and you hear, this is going back to 1881, that the great Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger feels very strongly that it's right to resurrect this takona, and that you should blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which falls on Shabbos, in front of a Beis Din, who is in violation of this takana? The guy blowing the shofar. But if you're just the listener, no problem. Go listen. What's the concern? The guy blowing it, that's his problem. Rak hatoker hu over. They're listening to the shofar. They're fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa. Etc. Because the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer had an eved, and he was meshachre the eved, which is an issa deraisa. You can't just free the slave. He did it in order to get a minion. And that minion is a mitzvah derabim. Afshei mitzvah drabonon, a minion itself is actually a mitzvah drabonon. The Gemara in Brachas Mem Zayin. Kal v'choy melav al drabonon k'tei l'kayim mitzvah derabim shel Torah. Certainly you can violate the drabonon to be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa. V'yodua ma she'omru nichelei l'chover l'mevid isa klile v'lo l'mevid amaretz isa rabo. You know what? Sometimes the Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham can do a small aveira to prevent somebody else doing a bigger aveira. You got to take one for the team. Take it on the chin for the team. And Maskonas Tosfos there is, well, so long as that person wasn't Poshea, then you say, Omrim La'adam Chatei Bishvil She'izke Chavercha. So, these are half a dozen or so of the rationalizations, the arguments of Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger to explain why he felt. But each one was dismissed out of hand by Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukuchinsky. Years later, the Rav of Yerushalayim was someone called Rav Svi Pesach Frank. Famous Rav, his great grandchildren are in school in Hasmonea. His Rav Svi Pesach Frank raises a couple of more very interesting points. I mentioned to you, let's say you find yourself in Yerushalayim in 1881, and you should know there have been attempts to resurrect it in more recent times. And I said to you just now that you're going to go along and listen to it. Have you fulfilled the mitzvah deraisa of Tkiyah Shofar, of listening to the Shofar? The Chora says Rav Svi Pesach Frank, really? Two arguments. Number one, if Chazal say you don't blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, then Shabbos is not a zman for shofar. So therefore, there is no mitzvah to perform. Number one. Number two, there's no chiyuv to blow shofar, because Chazal say you don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. If the Baal Tokeya, the guy blowing the shofar, is not Mechuyev, then he can't fulfill you, your obligation. And therefore, he can't be made to you. Only someone who is going to be, who is a Bar Chiyuv, for example, you have a Chere Shoto Akotan, you've got a kid who's 7 years old, who's a fabulous Baal Tokeya, but he's not Mechuyev. So if he's not Mechuyev, you can't get him standing up in shul, blowing shofar everyone, because only someone who is Mechuyev can be Meitzi other people. So therefore, if there's no Chiyuv in the first place, you going along in 1881 to hear it, you're not going to perform the mitzvah. Is that true? Now this is not time, but this is a big discussion. Because at the end of the day, Min HaTorah, is there a mitzvah to listen to the shofar this Shabbos? Lechora, yes. It's just that the Rabbonim came along and said, Shev Val Taisa, we're worried because of certain concerns. Now, says Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, I'll prove to you that that must be correct. That there is still a mitzvah. Why? Listen to this clever proof. Fast forward, this Shabbos 2 weeks' time. Shabbos 2 weeks' time is the first day of Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot falls on the Shabbos, we don't shake the lulav. Someone forgets. In his excitement to do the mitzvah, he spent ages, days and days choosing a nice lulav and esrog. He comes to shul with his beautiful lulav. It's quite embarrassing. He's walking around. I know someone who did this. He got confused. He was in a place where there's an Erev and he thought that you can do it. And Bekitza, there's low plug. We don't shake lulav on the first day of Sukkot. You come to shul, you look around. How come everyone's forgotten their lulav and esrog? And then you realize, it's like the joke. The wife calls the husband and says, "Darling, I just heard on the radio that there's a crazy guy, a lunatic, who's driving down the wrong way on the M1, going the opposite way." He says, "Darling, what are you talking about? One? There are hundreds of them." Right? So you go to the shul and you're shaking your lulav. You look around, there's no one there. There's no one else bringing it, and you bring yours. Okay, you go along and you shake and you do the Rabbeinu Shalom beforehand, and you make the brachas and you make Shechianu. And then someone tells you, actually, there's no lulav today. It's Shabbos. You don't shake lulav when it's Sukkot. The first time Sukkot falls on a Shabbos. Or any day. When they're on Shabbos during Sukkot. Sunday, the next day, he comes back to shul, a bit sheepish, with his lulav and esrog. Does he make a Shechiyonu? He made it yesterday. But did yesterday count? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he doesn't make a Shechiyon. You see, the Min HaTorah, he has performed a mitzvah. The rabbi said, don't do it, Shev Al Taisa, but if he went and did it, he's performed a mitzvah. And therefore, Min HaTorah, there's still a mitzvah, and therefore there's a proof from Rabbi Akiva Eiger that he still performed his mitzvah. Okay, Ad Kan, all the lomdas. You want to know what actually happened. Did they blow the shofar in 1881 or not? So what happened was, and they came up with all other terutzim as well. The Rambam says that even though the takona was you don't blow a shofar when a Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, but eis tzara, in a time of difficulty, of distress, you can blow shofar because you blow shofar in a time of tzara. So says Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, I'll throw in another thing. We'll all have in mind to blow shofar, there's an eis tzara now. It's always an eis tzara. There's always troubles. But at the end of the day, the Rabbanan said you shouldn't do it. And therefore, he couldn't get together 23 people and it never happened. So they did not blow the shofar. But there's a very interesting postscript to the story. Rabbi Elio Mordechai Eisenstein was a grandson-in-law of Rabbi Shmuel Salant. Rabbi Shmuel Salant was the great Rav of Yerushalayim for a long time. If I'm not mistaken, he was the Rav of Yerushalayim for 70 years. Can you imagine? He was a young man when he became a Rav. If I'm not mistaken, he turned 85 or so. He was getting older and he didn't feel that he could fully have all the responsibility of being the Rav of Yerushalayim. So they called over the Aderes. He wrote to the Aderes to say to him, I'd like you to take over from me. The Aderes is one of the great personalities, again, of Jewish history. Eliyahu David Rabinowitz Tumim, Rosh HaTevis Aderes, and he came over. There's a fascinating postscript that there's a letter that he wrote to his son-in-law. Who was the Aderes' son-in-law? The Aderes' son-in-law was Rav Kook. So he wrote to his son-in-law and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, Rav Shmuel Salant has asked me to become the Rav in Yerushalayim. But I'm worried about it. Because what's going to happen? I'm going to come to Yerushalayim. and they say Shema, who do they wait for? They wait for the Rav. And they're going to wait for me. And Rav Shmuel Salant has been the Rav here for decades. And they're going to, and Rav Shmuel Salant, in his tremendous sidkus and modesty, is going to insist that they wait for me, the new Rav in Yerushalayim. And who's going to be Masada Kiddushin? And who's going to wait, they're going to wait for the end of Shemone Esra and all the other rabbinic functions? There's going to be, he's a human being, there's going to be a, you know, although he's a big tzaddik, there's going to be a 0.1% twinge of, You do that to a tzaddik, that's bad news. Okay, it could be a kitrug in Shemaim against me, but nevertheless, he writes to his son, Rav Kook, my love for Eretz Yisrael is so strong, I'm coming anyway. And amazingly, Shmuel Salant outlived him. Even though he was many years junior to him, he died in his 60s, and Shmuel Salant continued to be the Rav in Yerushalayim after the death of the Aderes. That's an interesting postscript. Now, another postscript to the story. Rabbi Eliyahu Mordechai Eisenstein quoted Shmuel Salant and said the following. In 1904, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim, and he was famous for writing his luach, all the zmanim, this famous luach, the Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukhachinsky. When you write the luach and you put all the zmanim and you write everything related to it, he takes it to the Rav in Yerushalayim, who was the Aderes at the time, like I mentioned. Look at the bottom box. V'shamayti mi'arav Eliyahu Mordechai Eisenstein, Sofer v'ne'eman, he was a Sofer and he's a very trustworthy person, Morad Asra, Mareinu Harav Agon Rav Shmuel Salant Atzal. He was a grandson-in-law of Rav Shmuel Salant, the Rav of Yerushalayim. That Rav Shmuel Salant told him that even though halacha lemaisa you don't blow the shofar, if anyone would have come to him and said, should I go and listen to the shofar blowing, I would have told him, don't go. But if the guy says, I'm keen to go, I'm going to go anyway, I'm not going to stop him. Umitztai ani says Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukhachinsky, I'm distressed. Shalai dibarti marini v'rebi. I had the opportunity. I knew Rabbi Shmuel Salant, but I never discussed this with him. Chaval. Avol ne'eman olai ho'eid azeh. But his grandson-in-law, Rabbi Eliyahu Mordechai Eisenstein, I believe what he told me about the position that Rabbi Shmuel Salant took about it. Next postscript. V'kayetz Tofresh Samach Dalet. In the summer of Tofresh Samach Dalet, which is 1904. When I wrote the next year's Luach, this book that I write every year, and I took it to Hagon Rebbe Yo David Rabinus Tumim, the Aderes, that's all. He looked through the Luach, I was sitting there with him. You can picture the scene in old Jerusalem, the Rebbe Chiel Michal Tukhachinsky showing his Luach to the Aderes, who was an old man by then, he was a senior man, the Ne'enach. And he groaned. What a shame that the coming Rosh Hashanah, which is Tofresh Samachay, which is 1905, Chal b'Shabbos, it falls on a Shabbos. What a shame. Umi yodea, said the Aderes, who knows, im ezke oid lishmea kol shofar deraisa, if I'm going to ever hear the tkiya shofar again from the Torah. On day two, it's Drabonah. He felt that he was quite unwell medically, which means shavak chayim lechol chay, that he's not going to be around next year. And in fact, he wasn't around because he died on Gimel Adar Tofresh Samachay. He died Purim time in 1905. And then he added the following: Ilu hoya harav Rabbi Kiva Yosef oisem maisib Rosh Hashanah haba v'tkoya b'Shabbos. If Rabbi Kiva Yosef Shlesing, who was still alive by the way, he died in 1920 or 21 around then, if he would do his thing and blow the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, hoyisi holech v'omid achrei akosel, says the Aderes, I would go and stand and listen to that tkiya shofar behind the wall. I'd go stand lishmei akol shofar, to hear the kol shofar. Fascinating. So, in summary, what have we? Yes. So that is a big debate that Rabbi Pesach Frank has. There is arguments both ways. This is lomdas. This is, you can argue both ways. This is not halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. But there are arguments both ways. On one hand, you could say Chazal say don't blow, Shabbos is not as one for shofar, the guy's not mechuyev, and if it's not mechuyev, he's not going to be motzi you, therefore no. On the other hand, I mean, not Torah, you are. Proof from Biki Vega. So that is part of the whole debate.
But if they're anyway doing it.
If they're anyway, yeah. But you could argue again both ways. If they're anyway doing it, but there's not as man for shofar, and therefore he's not mechuyev to do it. If he's not mechuyev, he can't be motzi you. On the other hand, Biki Vega, etc., etc. What have we got? Yeah.
He's blowing the shofar.
But the guy blowing the shofar has also got a chiv to hear the shofar, and he's hearing what he's blowing.
Oh, right.
Right? So he is being moitzi others, and he's also being moitzi himself. And he has that kavana. The question is, if there's no zman shofar, is he still being has the ability to be moitzi other people? Okay, let me just summarize. I know this is a little bit different to what you're used to, but it's super geschmack. What have we said? This year, the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos. The first Mishnah in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah says that Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shecholios B'Shabbos B'Migdash HaYotokim, but B'Medina not. The rest of the world, you don't blow the shofar. And that is what's going to happen throughout the Jewish world this Shabbos. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came along and was misakein that we blow a shofar in front of Beis Din, as the Gemara says, Bifnei Beis Din. What type of Beis Din? Three-way machlekas, Rashi, Rambam, Rif. Rashi says a Beis Din of 23. The Rambam says smuchin plus possibly sheikatras shekitzah chodesh. They've got the ability to make kadosh chodesh. And the Rif says seemingly no criteria. And therefore, Bikibi Yosef Schlesinger came along and wanted to reinstitute this whole takana. Let's do it. Who's he going to rely on? Rashi, the Rambam, it seems to be difficult to rely on them. With all the arguments that I presented, six plus there are several more, he tried to argue and reinstitute it. It didn't work. It didn't work. It was rejected. However, it was rejected somewhat reluctantly. Because whilst they paskan not, if someone would go, he wouldn't protest against it. Let me just tell you a couple of postscripts I think I can take home from this, which I think is a nice musa segue into Rosh Hashanah. This time next week, it's Kimat Tova. What do you see from here? What was driving Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger? What was driving him? What was the coffee talk at the time in Jerusalem in 1881? That's why it's amazing when you research these sugyas. You want to know what they were talking about in the streets at the time in Jerusalem in 1881. This is what they were talking about. But what was driving Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger? What was driving him was this burning desire to keep mitzvahs. I've got a mitzvah deraisa of tkiyah shofar. I've got a way. I think we can actually do it. A halachically valid way, which he argues, and he wrote a whole sefer on it. I think a useful take-home from all of this, aside from the geshmak alamdus of it, is a burning desire we should have to keep Torah and mitzvahs. Now, tkiyah shofar is a mitzvah deraisa. There's lots of other mitzvah deraisas we get the opportunity to do the whole time. I'll give you one example, something which it's so common that we don't always do it. Birchas hamozen. Benching. You sit down, you wash, you have some bread, and yachalta, sovata, you ate, you're full. There is a mitzvah v'irachta. Mitzvah to bench is a mitzvah in the Torah. That's massive. A mitzvah in the Torah? That's massive. Rebbetzin Roberts, Leah Sholem, the wife of Pinchas Roberts, that's all. She made a point of eating bread three times a day. A slice of bread for breakfast, for lunch, and supper. Why? Because I've got the opportunity, Mekai mitzvah, deraisa, birchas hamozen. Is that not astonishing? They say Rabbi Yashiv's daughter, Chaim Kanievsky's wife, she made a point of washing and of benching every single day. Why? This is going back, the travel in those days and from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim was a bit difficult. She couldn't actively be mechabed kibud av v'eim in the way that she wanted to. So she said, let me at least eat some bread, say Brichas Hamozen, and I will say, Harachamun Yivarech es Ovi Meri v'sim Mimirasi, at least I'll give them a blessing. Chazal mandated this bracha. People think differently. I don't know about you, but what's going through my mind is, what should I have for lunch? Something to aspire to, this tshuka for mitzvahs, and certainly tkiyah shofar. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zocha to have a ksiva of a chasima Torah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.